lives in miracles.
And that is why you will never hear me mention his name.
Deliver Brexit.
It's about finding a pathway forward.
News on News with Mark Latham.
And the leader of One Nation in New South Wales joins me this afternoon, Mark Latham. Good afternoon, Mark. How are you?
Good, thanks, Brent. Good to be chatting about the election and other matters.
Mark, I'm hoping in ways that possibly Scott Morrison does win the election. If for no other reason, if he doesn't, I've got to redo your intro.
Well, that's the changing political landscape, isn't it?
Dear.
If Albanese gets in, that won't be the biggest change in the country, I can assure you.
Oh, dear, where do we start? How do you think the election campaign is going this week with Anthony Albanese launching the campaign officially in WA on Sunday?
Well, today he's made another blunder. Another day, another Albo Dumbo blunder. He couldn't name any of the 6 points of Labor's NDIS policy. That's the National Disability Insurance Scheme. Just, a week ago, they announced a policy, a 6-point plan to try and improve the NDIS. Bill Shorten put it out there, and Albanese today was completely clueless. He waited for, I think, Chris Bowen to answer a question and got a note from one of his staffers that told him what the answer was. Now, a lot of disabled people in Australia who need assistance, Labor's made a big issue of this, that's good. But if the leader can't name any of the 6 points in the policy, how could he possibly be Prime Minister? I mean, he didn't know the unemployment rate. He didn't know the cash rate. He messed up their border protection policies 3 times. You just have to say it's hard to believe that this Albo Dumbo could be the next Prime Minister of Australia. He's clearly not up to the job.
I said to my wife last night, watching on one of the news programs, he doesn't, at the moment, he doesn't fill you with confidence that he really does know what he's talking about, and along comes today and proves my point.
Well, it's a big concern, isn't it? Scott Morrison's not going great. You and I have discussed how he didn't order enough of the Pfizer vaccines and messed that up. I don't blame him so much for having a holiday in his family, with his family in Hawaii, or some of the other things he gets blamed for, the flood response, he went up there. I think vaccination was his big letdown, and I think they've overspent too much and racked up too much debt. I also think they haven't prepared us adequately for this threat from China that they keep on talking about. So there are black marks against Scott Morrison. But at the end of the day, the basic requirement for Prime Minister is to be competent. And you'd have to say Morrison is infinitely more competent than Albanese, who in this campaign has shown himself to be a blunderbuss, a dunderhead, more than anyone we've ever seen. I mean, not knowing the unemployment rate, not knowing the cash rate, maybe that was first day nerves, but there's a critical policy for disabled Australians in desperate need, 6 points announced just last week, and he couldn't name any of them. I mean, this is a level of incompetence that I think disqualifies him from winning the election.
What do you think of the announcement on Sunday of the shared equity scheme? Boy, oh boy, there was nothing released on Sunday. I thought in the next 24 hours we'd start to see what it was all about. It took a little longer than that, but it seems as though every extra 24 hours we learn more and more about this scheme, and it looks like a shocker.
Well, there's a worry that if the parents die, the children will have to pay the government. So it's been compared to sort of a death levy, that the children will be in debt if the parents die, having participated in the shared equity scheme. I suppose my main problem with the scheme was to identify a flaw, because it wasn't just for first home buyers where the government would pay 40% of you moving into a new home. It was for anyone who hadn't owned a home. So there's a loophole there where you could sell your existing home, put the money on the stock exchange, live off the dividends up to $120,000 a year, which can be comfortable for a couple, and the government will give you $400,000 to buy a new home for almost $1 million, say on Lake Macquarie, where, you know, it's a pretty good deal, isn't it? You get $400,000 for living on Lake Macquarie in a new home of about $1 million in value, and you're on $120,000, you never have to work again. So I think that's a rort in waiting, isn't it? That's a loophole that's waiting for people to drive through it and exploit it. So it hasn't been a policy that's thought through carefully. Why isn't it just for first home buyers? Why isn't it asset tested? And why haven't they sorted out the possibility of a death levy to avoid that? I think government should be saying, look, if the parents die, the kids have got to get an inheritance. And if they've owned the home for more than 10, 15 years, it goes into full family ownership.
I agree with you 100%. It should only be for first home buyers. Nobody else. They shouldn't be eligible at all.
It's ridiculous. I was campaigning today for our candidate in the seat of Warringah. I was there on the Spit Bridge looking at the marina and hundreds of yachts, and it occurred to me, under the Albanese scheme, you can sell your existing home, buy a nice yacht, other luxuries, none of that asset tested, exploit that loophole I mentioned, and end up with a nice yacht and home on Lake Macquarie. I mean, Brent, we've got to consider doing this. It's such a nice option, but it's wrong, isn't it?
It's wrong that
Albanese has left this massive rort available to people who've owned homes in the past, as you and I have, and really shouldn't be eligible for a scheme like this.
And the headline said Labor's $329 million help to buy scheme. It turns out you're looking at, at the end of the day, you're looking at, more like $7 billion.
Yeah, well, that's a bit of a fib, because the $329 million is admin costs only just to run and manage the scheme to fork up the $400,000 per new home runs into $8 or $9 billion, apparently. So it's very expensive. How are they going to fund it? It looks like further debt. And why does it cost $330 million to administer a scheme like that? All this is so expensive. It's a poorly conceived policy, and I think they'd be better off junking it.
What about the interest rate that everyone expected on Tuesday? Well, it was going to happen. There are economists saying it should have happened earlier. There are other economists saying today that the government spent too much money. They've promised too much money. Both sides of politics have promised too much money going forward, and that it was going to go up anyway. It's gone up too early. It's gone up too late. I mean, it depends on, I suppose, which radio station you listen to, which newspaper you read, or which TV station you watch. But the bottom line is interest rates needed to start going up. And they did last Tuesday. Not good for Scott Morrison. It gave Anthony Albanese an opportunity to blame him for something.
Well, the Reserve Bank is independent. You can say the government budget deficit is too big at $80 billion for the coming financial year. Certainly the debt at $1 trillion of government debt is way too big. So the government, I think, has overspent through the COVID period, and they probably panicked a bit. But at the bottom line, the Reserve Bank is independent, and they've got one main job: anticipate inflation in the economy, get ahead of it, and use interest rates to keep inflation between 2 and 3% underlying. And the headline rate's now got over 5%. But did you really need to be an economic genius to look at the United States and Europe last year and realise that inflationary pressures were coming? Also, with the supply chain problems that we've got in Australia, I mean, the Reserve Bank missed the boat. It was obvious that inflation was going to rise. Their job was to do something about it. So I think the economists are right in saying that these increases should have come late last year and got ahead of the curve. And now the Reserve Bank is playing catch-up, and maybe, I think the problem may be, they've got to put the interest rates up even higher in the future to do that catch-up.
And in the last 24 hours, the US Federal Reserve has increased the federal fund rate by 0.5 percentage points to 1%. That's the biggest one-day move since 2000. So it's not as if we are on our Pat Malone here, and the reason that it's happened is simply because of the fact that, I suppose, inflation, inflation, inflation. That's what they're saying. Inflation over there, inflation here, and the US Fed have put their interest rate up. We're doing exactly the same thing here.
Yeah, well, inflation is a disaster for fixed income earners. It's a disaster for people who've had no or very small wage increases. Inflation, which, you've got to go back, I suppose, to the 1980s to have a memory of it, is a very bad thing. So the bottom line is that the Reserve Bank cash rate was never going to stay at 0.1%. It was basically as low as you could get it. You really can't go to zero interest rates, like free money. So 0.1 was historically low. It was never going to stay there. It was just a matter of time before it went up. So I don't think this is something that hinges on whether it's a Labor or Liberal government. They're both spending too much, and interest rates are going to continue to rise into the future. And for home buyers and people on the fixed income, it's bad news.
Do you think that both sides of politics are just putting out too many policies? I mean, it seems as though we have a policy every day these days. And what I mean by that is it just becomes too confusing for the average Joe Blow.
Well, I don't think the policies are meaty enough. I think the basic problem is that both parties have got a primary vote of about 35%, so between them 70%. 30% of the electorate is looking elsewhere. You know, almost a third, one in three voters, are saying the major parties aren't doing the job. And they're putting out micro policies, but it's the big things they've missed. Where's the plan for genuine budget repair to get it back into balance? That's not going to happen for at least 10 years. They're going to continue to spend. Where's the productivity plan? Where's the plan for housing affordability better than that ridiculous Labor scheme? Where's the plan for doing something about our declining school results? Where's the plan for getting young people into jobs with better training programs that we've had in the past? Where's a real defence plan dealing with the threat of China? Because Peter Dutton said, prepare for war. Prepare with what? You know, nuclear subs that arrive in 15 years' time? I mean, the defence capability plan is non-existent. And it's almost like Australia's been left defenceless unless the United States comes to our rescue. So there's huge national issues there. Where's the plan for getting on top of inflation? So, you know, I've just rattled off seven or eight big national issues there where I think the voters are saying, where are the solutions instead of, you know, political stunts and positioning and name calling and the rest of it. So in the absence of big policies, people are saying, well, I'm not going to vote for the major parties.
Tomorrow, Friday, okay, we've got over the weekend, but after that, come Monday, come Saturday, isn't it, we're 2 weeks left of this election campaign. If you had to call it at the moment from what you've seen, is it too close to call?
I think the election is not so much a national campaign, but more like 151 local by-elections. And I think incumbents will have an advantage. Times are uncertain. We've come out of COVID. We just talked about inflation and interest rates, the major parties. No one's excited by Albanese or Morrison. I think a lot of voters will look more at their local candidates and think, well, you know, as Freddie Bloggs, my local Member of Parliament, did a good job, well, I'll put them back in. Mm-hmm. If they've done a bad job, I'll vote them out. So I think the local focus on election night is going to be bigger than ever before. So that makes it a bit messy. It's not as predictable. And local candidates and issues and factors will come into play with cross currents, the Teal independents in those inner city Liberal seats, wealthy seats that are more interested in climate change than jobs. I think the Liberals will do a bit better out in the regions and the outer suburbs. So all of that means it'll be pretty messy on election night, maybe a hung parliament, maybe Morrison will scrape across the line, and probably the big factor helping him is that can anyone really make Albanese the Prime Minister when this poor bugger can barely spell his own name? He's so incompetent. I mean, that's the big factor that'll probably keep Labor out.
On, I think it was Tuesday of this week, state government ministers were in revolt after being advised to avoid the word mate in conversation as part of this Respect at Work training sessions that took place this week. What are they doing in Macquarie Street?
Well, mate, they're wasting their own time and they're wasting our money. This is a 2.5-hour session where the woke facilitator stands at the front and says, you can't say anyone's hopeless at their job and sack them because that's bullying. Where you've got to have special consideration of LGBT people because they're scared to put their sexuality on their CV. Well, what's sexuality got to do with doing your job? Nobody cares. So, you know, you've got Dominic Perrottet sitting there, supposedly running the state, being told, for example, that you can't start meetings in the morning any earlier than 8:30 because everyone's got carer commitments. Well, if Perrottet had to drop all of his seven children around, he wouldn't start till 11. But he's got a state to run. And also to say you can't use the word mate, why? Mate means friendship, means familiarity, means I like you. Mate, mate, mate. They try and stop mate here in the One Nation office. They've got no hope. We'll be mating in the friendship sense for as long as we can. So it's all just nonsense, a waste of money. And the only good thing out of it is that Perrottet's now got a taste of the ridiculous seminars that the public servants have had to do for 10 years dealing with degendered language and critical race theory and unconscious bias, all this wacko stuff that's got nothing to do in New South Wales with making the trains run on time, making the hospitals more efficient, and making the schools more successful for the students.
Well said. We're talking to our good mate, Mark Latham, from One Nation in New South Wales. We have to take a break. We'll do that, and we'll continue our discussion next.